I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here. Maggie Dawn is off today after doing all that work at the convention. I don't blame her. I'd take the day off, too. She should get some credit, though, for highlighting that Freedom song from Beyonce before Kamala Harris took it as her theme song. I want to tell you what we got going for the show today. It's a really good show. I'm very excited about being here. I want to thank Maggie for letting me sit behind the mic here for the next couple hours with you. At 2:30, I've got Tara Johnson, who's running up in the 96th Assembly District. That's in the La Crosse area. Then at 3 o'clock, Christian Phelps, who's running in the 93rd Assembly District. That's up around Eau Claire. And then in the last half hour, a guest who comes on civic media here quite a lot, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's running in the 8th Congressional District and has got a shot at turning that district blue. And I look forward to speaking with her. I've never talked with her before, so I'm excited about that. I got Jess on the board here.
Happy Friday, Matt.
Yeah, how do you like that? And I want you to tell me, if you're listening to the show, what you thought of the DNC, what you thought of Kamala Harris's speech, what you thought was the best part of the convention, or what bothered you about the convention. The only thing that really bothered me was that the speeches came on so late. That and Bill Clinton's speech went on and on and on, as Trygve Olson said in the last show. I guess he used snuck a script on there that hadn't been approved. So says Trygve. He knows these things better than I do. But I wanted just to start off this afternoon, Jess, with the way Kamala Harris accepted the nomination. It was unusual. It was a very long sentence. I thought it was a beautiful sentence. It was very
well crafted.
Yeah, you could tell she worked really hard on the speech, and she did it in a, rather than just, you know, I accept the nomination of my party, thank you Democrats for having faith in me. It wasn't geared toward Democrats. That was one of the great things about the speech. She understood her audience. She already had the Democrats. She already had the crowd at the United Center. She didn't need that crowd. She needed the people who were undecided, who were listening to her for the first time, maybe some independents, maybe some moderate Republicans, maybe some others who were disenchanted with voting. And so she accepted this in a really elaborate way, which I found fascinating and also quite endearing. So why don't you play that?
Absolutely. Here we go.
On behalf of the people, on behalf of every American, regardless of party, race, gender, or the language your grandmother speaks, on behalf of my mother and everyone who has ever set out on their own unlikely journey, on behalf of Americans like the people I grew up with, people who work hard, chase their dreams, and look out for one another. On behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination.
There she was, Kamala Harris, accepting the nomination. She's going to be our next president of the United States. I'm pretty confident of that. I won't bet the house on it, but I think she's got the wind at her back, and she's making a pitch. I mean, listen to what she said there. Regardless of party, regardless of race, regardless of gender, and then in an interesting way, as far as your background, your origin, the language your grandmother speaks, which is a really neat way to put it. And also, you know, on behalf of people who look out for one another, which is kind of the Tim Walz
badge. Look out, watch out for your neighbor. Yeah. Neighbors help neighbors.
The neighborliness, the friendliness that Tim Walz brings to it, that she echoed there. I mean, Tim Walz, we all know Tim Walz. You know, Tim Walz is our neighbor who shovels our driveway when we're away or gets the snowblower out.
Yeah.
When there's a snowstorm and helps us out.
He's the one who you're trying to get out of the driveway in a foot of snow, and he goes, let me help you out there with that. No, you stay where you are. No, I got it.
Yeah, there's something very reassuring. Maybe it's just the Midwesterner in me, but there's something so comforting about Tim Walz out there. And I think he's going to help in Wisconsin. I think he's going to help in Michigan. I think he's going to help in Pennsylvania and across the country. I mean, everyone knows the nice coach, the good coach, the coach who isn't screaming his head off at the kids, but is actually accentuating the positive. So give us a call at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And let us know what you thought of the speech. One thing that I was really glad about was that Kamala Harris actually ditched the big applause line from all of her previous speeches, which was, I know his type, which was the comment criticizing Donald Trump for all of his obvious failures. But she didn't go there. And I thought it was really smart not to go there because, first of all, there would have been a chant of lock him up that she didn't want to have to deal with. America wants to get past the politics of retribution and vengeance. And so she didn't want to get the crowd curdling like that. And I thought that was a really smart move. We've got Joe from Madison, who I always like getting a question from. So, Joe, tell me what you thought of her speech.
You know, it's halfway through it, Matt, and I'm watching this incredibly capable woman and thinking of her past, where she came from and where she is now, a senator from the largest state in the union, 39 million people, an illustrious career as a prosecutor, attorney general in that state, and think of how hard that is, thinking of the caliber of the lawyers that she was going up against, and she held her own and was able to get judgments against big banks, big pharma, send sexual traffickers to jail. I just think we're looking at an extremely capable individual, and they're halfway through that. I just found myself thinking, boy, I've been hearing about women's rights since I was a wee one, and 1920, since the 19th Amendment was passed, and here we sit with 51% of the population. We're finally looking at having a woman elected. And I just know that, you know, the arrows are going to come out. And I think that she did a masterful job at setting up her history, setting up the fact that she comes from a middle-class background, just like Tim Walz, except hers was in the Bay Area. It was not on a Nebraska farm. And I think the thing that she has next to challenge and next to go through is to produce that look of, okay, can we trust a woman with our foreign policy, with the possibility of going to war and leading the nation in that circumstance? And I think in that speech, she really laid down her markers to say, I've been there, I've been in the conversations, and look at my background, I'm ready to go. It was a pretty masterful speech, and it said to me that this is a person who can really, she's got the chops. She really does have the chops, both in her oratory, but also in her background, and in the fact of that I'm sure she had huge input into that speech, and it really went from the most simple sort of language to a grandiose vision for what, grandiose in the best way, of what we might be going toward next, rather than wallowing in what we've been stuck in for so long because of Mr. Trump. So thanks for the opportunity to talk. I didn't have a question, but I was just struck by, man, maybe it's really going to happen. Maybe we're really going to have a woman president. So thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Well, I think it is going to happen. And you don't need to ask a question. Just give me your comment. Your comment was great. I totally agree with you. I thought she presented herself as an incredibly capable person, as you said, Joe, and as someone who you could totally believe as commander-in-chief. I mean, there's no doubt that she's, tough enough for this job. I mean, I think she cleared that hurdle real easily.
Oh, yeah. She modeled just excellent leadership, excellent communication, speaking to not just herself. You could tell that she was speaking to the people.
And she was speaking to people who may have been worried, you know, can a woman be commander in chief? Maybe she wanted to address the sexism that is so obvious in our culture and try to take that criticism away at the top. I think other speakers throughout the convention and mentioning her toughness over and over again were trying to do the same thing. But anyone who has seen her tangle when she was a senator and taking on Bill Barr and Kavanaugh knows that she's no pushover.
Oh, those were a treat.
Oh, I did love those clips. And so, I think she made that case. I was very pleased that she was speaking not just to Democrats, but to independents, to all citizens of this country, and that she vowed that she would be a president of all Americans and go to work for all Americans. I mean, that was really what she needed to do. And I think she did it masterfully. She didn't speak too long. I thought it was a very well-written, well-delivered speech with a lot of content. And I was happy she didn't do a laundry list. The only thing she could have done a little more of was just tell each person in this country how she was going to help them. You know, she'll defend their Social Security. That means you or your parents, your grandparents aren't going to have to worry. She'll help people buy their first home, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If she spelled that out a little more on the economic issues. That was the only petty little criticism I had of her speech, but I thought
it didn't go on for 93 minutes.
Yeah.
It was coherent.
Yeah. That's why I appreciated the brevity. So if she had started to go down that road that I was suggesting, it would have gone on too long. And so she resisted that. And I thought it was really a good speech. I was frustrated with other speakers in previous evenings that it went on too long. She certainly hit the mark. So I want you to call and let me know what you thought of Kamala Harris' speech or what you felt about the whole convention. How do you feel today, the day after the convention? 855-752-4842. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm here subbing in for Maggie Dawn today and happy to take your calls. We'll discuss a little bit more from the convention right after this break, so stay tuned.
I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. May the last one burn into flame.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Civic Media Radio Network, the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off today. I'm the guest host. I'm the relief pitcher and the substitute teacher. No spitballs, please, but I do want your calls. 855-752-4842. We're talking about the Democratic National Convention over this week. I watched just about all of it. Missed two poker games because of it, and that's a huge sacrifice
commitment
for me. Yeah, that's hard. But
didn't
I was
miss any Texas Hold'em, did you?
Yeah, that's what I missed.
Oh.
But I was...
Is that poker?
That's poker.
I know so much about this.
I was glad I missed it, actually, though, because I thought it was a really good convention. I thought there were great speeches. I thought AOC gave a great talk. I thought Reverend Warnock gave a great talk. You know, it was when Reverend Warnock gave a talk and he used the word forward about 10 times that I knew, Wisconsin should be getting royalties out of this convention.
We really should, shouldn't we?
And Kamala Harris, a new path forward. There you go. The drinking game last night was forward.
Oh, boy.
The drinking game during the whole convention was freedom.
Oh, yep.
I thought the Democrats did a great job of capturing the flag. Not letting Republicans have sole possession of...
They don't have a monopoly on patriotism.
Of patriotism, not at all. That was a very smart thing that Kamala Harris did and the organizers of the convention did. I mean, they had, even at the Pfizer Center Forum, they had freedom placards,
yeah,
billboards all over the place. So it was quite a conscious effort to deprive Republicans of sole possession of the word and the concept of freedom. Because freedom isn't just don't tread on me, stay off of my lawn, leave me with my guns alone. Freedom has other meanings. And we've known since FDR's freedom talks that, you know, the unemployed person isn't free. The hungry person isn't free. The homeless person isn't free. And then we know, of course, today, after the Dobbs decision, that women aren't free in this country. And so stressing the word freedom, making the concept of freedom as broad as possible, was actually a tremendous tactic by the Democratic Party, by Kamala Harris. It showed a understanding of messaging, an understanding of where people are in this country and what values they hold most dear. Freedom is the cardinal value here in this country. You know, to be able to pursue happiness, that's freedom. You can't really pursue happiness if you're unemployed, unhoused, and hungry. And so they grabbed that in a way that I haven't seen Democrats do very often, certainly. I was also glad that Kamala Harris was able to get on almost in prime time last night, unlike George McGovern in 1972. I'm old enough to remember he got on at about 1:30 in the morning. So they didn't have that disaster. They actually had a pretty flawless convention. Certainly the Obamas were two of the best speakers, of course. I thought they just left Donald Trump pinned and wriggling on the wall. And it was kind of a sight to behold. I also thought it was brilliant to have Republican people testify that it was okay not to vote for Donald Trump. And the best person who did that, of course, was Adam Kinzinger, who we saw last night. And let's hear a bit, if we can, Jess.
Absolutely.
I've learned something about the Democratic Party, and I want to let my fellow Republicans in on the secret. The Democrats are as patriotic as us. They love this country just as much as we do, and they are as eager to defend American values at home and abroad as we conservatives have ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good testifying by Adam Kinzinger. And we needed that, and he needed to give that permission slip to other Republicans around the country that it's okay to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Well, especially when you have that contrast, which he laid out just so perfectly.
Well, and he did in his criticism of Donald Trump in a way that saved Kamala Harris from having to make an ad hominem attack. Of course, the Obamas had too, and succeeded very well at that. But I think Adam Kinzinger said it best. So can we take that little clip too?
Absolutely.
Donald Trump is a weak man pretending to be strong. He is a small man pretending to be big. He's a faithless man pretending to be righteous. He's a perpetrator who can't stop playing the victim.
Very well put together there by Adam Kinzinger. I'm just wondering where the other Republicans are who I've got to believe are not going to be voting for Donald Trump. I can't believe that George W. Bush is going to vote for Donald Trump.
I can't imagine. I mean, I know that he's just off doing his own thing at this point. We haven't heard from him in years, but I can't imagine.
And Laura Trump, I'm sure, is not going to. I mean, it's time for all those people to stand up. It's time for Tommy Thompson to stop being just, I'm Republican no matter what. I'm voting red no matter who. I mean, it really is a time of testing for those of us who believe in democracy. Are you going to stand up and defend our democracy? Or are you going to go with a guy who has already shown us that he's ready to tear down our democracy? He almost did it on January 6th. He said he's going to be dictator on day one. How much more evidence do you really need? And so I'm really waiting for more Republicans to follow Adam Kinzinger's his start here. I know there's Judge Luttick who did the same thing. It's time for other Republicans to rise to the occasion. Another great thing I thought about the convention was, of course, the joy. We've heard a ton about the joy,
yes.
But it was such a relief.
It was so refreshing. to have a convention that wasn't based all on anger.
Yeah.
And we're stern and we don't smile and we never laugh.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jess. I mean, it was fun to just be able to breathe happily about the direction that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are taking this. And Tim Walz, every time I looked at his smiling face, he looked like the guy who just won the lottery, you know. So, I mean, that too was fun. But I thought actually Oprah Winfrey put it best. And if we could play a bit from her, she's talking first about independents and undecideds. And I wish she had mentioned Republicans. She didn't, but the spirit's there.
We'll grab the first part of this.
I'm calling on all you independents and all you undecideds. You know this is true. You know I'm telling you the truth, that values and character matter most of all. In leadership and in life. And more than anything, you know this is true, that decency and respect are on the ballot in 2024.
Can we just play a bit of the other one where she talks
about... We'll go out with it.
Let us choose loyalty to the Constitution over loyalty to any individual. Because that's the best of America. And let us choose optimism over cynicism, because that's the best of America. And let us choose inclusion over retribution.
That was Oprah painting the picture, the sunny picture going forward. Sun will rise in the morning. Jeffries said that. We'll be back with Tara Johnson on the Maggie Dawn Show here. I'm Matt Rothschild. Stay tuned. Subbing in for Maggie today, and we're getting your reactions to the DNC, what your favorite part was. 855-752-4842. You can call in or text. We got a text from Liz from Saukville. I loved soon-to-be President Harris's acceptance speech, she said. My husband and I watched all days, and it was electrifying. So excited. And she said Michelle Obama was my fave. I loved Michelle Obama's speech, too, especially the line about Trump is running for what soon may be a black job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a killer. So I'm happy to be joined for the next 15 minutes or so by Tara Johnson. Tara Johnson is running for the Wisconsin Assembly in the 96th District. Tara Johnson, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Matt, great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Well, you know, when I saw that you won the primary there and that you're running there up in the 96th district, I wanted to get hold of you because I had run into you a couple times. We did some panels together in the battle to fight gerrymandering. And so, and I was always impressed with you. Of course, you were one of the leaders of the La Crosse County Board for many years. And then I went to your website. I see that you were the former executive director of the United Way of La Crosse for a long time as well. So I wanted you to be able to tell our listeners, you know, why you're running for the assembly.
Great. Well, thanks for the opportunity. And I remember fondly those days of fair maps, roundtables, and really helping folks in, you know, what is now the new 96th Assembly District, really express their concerns and raise questions and make it clear that there were others that shared their values for those fair maps. And really, that's kind of the first part of the answer to your question, why I'm running, is there are new maps, right? So I, for the longest time, lived in the 94th Assembly District, was represented by Steve Doyle, who is a personal friend and a mentor of mine and preceded me as chair of the La Crosse County Board. So no reason to be interested in running for the Assembly because Steve was my rep. When Governor Evers signed the new Fair Maps legislation that changed everything, obviously, in Wisconsin. But in this part of the state, it meant that those of us in the southwest corner of La Crosse County got drawn into the new 96 with the good folks in Vernon County. And the old 96th was a very red, gerrymandered district that included Vernon County, but they were really kind of tethered to very red parts of Monroe County and Crawford County. So anyway, new maps is the first part of the answer. That's why I'm running, is that I've been drawn into the new 96th. And the other part is that this is the work that I have always done. You mentioned United Way work, county board work. I really have spent my life trying to build community wherever it is that I lived, and was able to work with lots of good people in every community that I've lived in to solve problems and address emerging needs. And in the United Way system, that often meant raising money and funding agencies and programs that helped new immigrants to our country, helped really the most vulnerable populations through the United Way system. And then when I retired from United Way after our second child was born, I was able to stay home with our kids and decided to, I will just note that expensive childcare was part of that decision, right? Mm. Not-for-profit salaries aren't always the best to be able to cover those kinds of expenses. But anyway, I was home with kids and decided that I really wanted to stay involved in the community. And the way that I chose to do that was to run for the La Crosse County Board. So ran first in 2000 and was elected until each successive term until 2020, when I decided to not seek re-election. And so in the county board world, same kind of thing, solving problems, addressing needs. You have to work with whoever else comes to the table to do that work. And in a county like La Crosse County, that means folks from very rural parts and, you know, very, very different perspectives and political points of view. And we were able to get really good stuff done, kept, you know, a line on taxes. La Crosse County's always, you know, been a very low per capita tax county, but we still have very progressive programs, especially in criminal justice and in public health. And, you know, we have a green landfill. And anyway, I can go on about that, but it really just, this run for the 96th Assembly District continues the work that I have been doing my whole life of advocating for issues, giving voice to folks who don't have a voice in the process, and trying to
get stuff civically. Done would be fine.
Get stuff done.
Tara, tell me, you mentioned issues. What issues are most important to you when you're knocking on doors or talking to people in small groups?
Well, this is one of the really great affirmations of this process, is I had a list of priorities set to talk to folks about at doors and, you know, at events. And as I think it, not just luck would have it, but again, this Fair Maps redrawing would have it, that when I'm knocking on doors, people are saying to me, they have the same priority concerns, and they absolutely are not, you know, there's kind of a cluster at the top, right? I wouldn't necessarily put them in rank order, but for sure, economic issues. So affordable housing, affordable childcare, especially in Vernon County, transportation is a really deep need. So getting to and from appointments, getting kids to and from school, getting to work. So I would cluster those together, transportation, affordable childcare, and affordable housing. But also I hear very often at doors, Matt, about a lot of frustration and concern about funding for public education. Mm. And in particular, really profound frustration and, you know, deep concern about the voucher system that is siphoning millions and millions of dollars away from public school systems in the K-12 system. But I would also say that I hear a lot about technical college funding, UW system funding as well. So public education funding, and then choice, reproductive freedom. There are a lot of folks in this district who look like me. We are gray-haired and female. And it does, I mean, it's not, this is not an issue that is exclusive to us, but there are a lot of folks who are very, very profoundly concerned about reproductive freedom nationally, but especially in the state. And this is, you know, such a sharp point of contrast between me and the incumbent, who not only supports the 1849 law that has a 20-week ban on abortion, he would prefer that it's a 14-week ban. And so I would say those are the top tier issues that I hear about knocking on doors. And for me, again, affirmation, and thankfully those are the same issues that got me interested in the seat in the first place.
I'm speaking with Tara Johnson, who's running as a Democrat in the 96th Assembly District. Your opponent, Lauren Oldenburg, are you guys going to have a debate?
I believe that the League of Women Voters is going to host one, yes.
Well, that'd be fun to watch.
Yes.
And yeah. You think he's vulnerable on the issue of reproductive freedom? Are there other issues you think he's vulnerable on?
Well, I think he's also very vulnerable on the public education funding because he is a voucher supporter. You know, I think in general that the real issue in this race is this set of values that the incumbent is really not a holder of the same values that the majority of folks in the district hold, I believe. And again, it goes back to the fair maps, Matt, right? Like, this is where you and I met each other, was doing those forums that you talked about. But the maps have changed so significantly here that, you know, the old 96th was a 61-62% Republican-leaning district. And, you know, now it's squarely on, you know, the flip column. Governor Evers won this with 58% of the vote in 2022. President Biden won in 2020 with almost 56% of the vote. So the new 96th Assembly District is a Democratic district, and it is imperative that we elect a Democrat to represent us. And we absolutely deserve to have someone who shares those values. So just the maps themselves make this a really tough district for the incumbent to hang on to. Then when you get to the issues, there's just so much. He is very much a follower of Robin Voss. In the 6 years that Representative Oldenburg has been in office, I think there are three votes that he has cast that were different from Robin Voss. Three in 6 years.
So he's been in Voss's pocket.
Yes.
Tell me, Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, is that going to help you, do you think?
I do think it does. I mean, it's very exciting. I know you've been talking with folks about the DNC. I can tell you that at doors, again, full respect to President Biden and his legacy and his leadership and the transformational work that his administration has done. But I can tell you that on doors, you know, a couple of months ago, it was, there was a different feel to doors. Keep in mind, I'm knocking on Dem doors, right, for a Dem primary. But when President Biden decided to step aside and Vice President Harris moved into that, you know, to be our nominee, the energy at doors, the energy in the Dem Party office, the energy at events just completely shifted. And I think, so yes, I think having Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, and I will say her teammate, Coach Walls, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're in a part of Wisconsin that shares a border with Minnesota. And Tim Walz is well known to us in this part of Wisconsin. And there's a lot of excitement and energy there as well. And so, yes, I think it is a huge plus. I think Tammy Baldwin being on this ticket is a huge plus. And I hope that the fair maps and the new blue, beautiful 96th Assembly District is going to help up ballot as well, right? Like there are people who are engaged in the 96th race because of their excitement about the new legislative maps, who I think are going to show up and vote and, you know, vote a Democratic ticket, and that will be a help up ballot as well.
And are you getting a lot of young people on campus interested as well?
Yeah, well, campus isn't very active right now because it's summertime, but I can tell you that our team, campaign manager, the interns who are working on our team, I think the oldest person is 27 years old, right? And in the Dem Party office, there are volunteers, canvassers, all kinds of, you know, people doing all kinds of volunteer jobs who represent the full age spectrum. And there are many young people who are showing up to help volunteer. So yes, it will make a difference. They'll be back in class after Labor Day and back on campus, and hoping to engage more. Also at, we have Viterbo here, you know, a private liberal arts college, and we have Western, one of the technical colleges. So this, you know, this district is pretty rich with higher education institutions as well.
Tara, how can people get involved in your campaign?
Thanks for asking, Matt. TaraForWisconsin.com. So TaraFor, Wisconsin spelled out, .com.
And check out the podcast. There'll be a link to go right to her page.
Thanks so much, Tara, for being my guest. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Maggie. We'll be taking your calls. Paul, I see you. I'll get you in a second. Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off today, but thanks for listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you'll join our conversation here at 855-752-4842 or text us at that same number. Want to hear what you thought about Kamala Harris's speech last night, what you thought about the whole DNC, and how optimistic are you that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz can get us across the finish line? See that Paul's been waiting on the line, and I want to get your call right now, Paul. So what you got for me, Paul?
All right. Thanks for taking my call. This comment actually fits in perfectly with your last guest. I, too, am sharing in the euphoria of the DNC convention, but I want to make a suggestion to civic media that, okay, we enjoy it for a while, but every talk show needs to be talking about the importance of keeping this enthusiasm going down ballot, not only at the federal level, but also at the state level, because we know what's going to happen when Harris and Walz are elected. If they have a Republican-controlled House and Senate, they're not going to be able to do anything. We see that all the time with our Democratic governor and what he has to deal with. Everything that he wants to do to help our lives is always blocked. So we really, and I'm very fearful that now that we've got maybe the younger generations coming, they're going to go in November and vote just for the president and not vote down ballot. So I really am very concerned about, we need to start getting the word out about how it actually works. Just because you may get the president and the vice president you want, they can be hamstrung by the Senate and the House. So that's all I want to say. And your last guest kind of said the same thing. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it does fit in real well, Paul. Thanks so much, Paul from Richland Center. Down ballot is really important. I think if we didn't learn anything during the Scott Walker terms, it's that voting for positions south of the president and vice president are really important, really affect our day-to-day lives. That's one of the reasons that about 3:35, I'm having Dr. Kristen Lyerly on. She's running in the 8th Congressional District. It's also one of the reasons why I wanted to run a clip of Tammy Baldwin, our U.S. Senator who is up for re-election this year. She spoke last night briefly. I was actually on civic media at the time and wasn't able to listen to her, so I had to go find it on the web. But I thought she spoke forcefully about the really important issue of Social Security and Medicare. So if we could play that, Jess, that'd be great.
Of course.
So when I work to protect Medicare and Social Security, I do it with a personal knowledge of what those big programs meant in small but deeply meaningful ways to my grandparents. And I know what they mean for your parents and grandparents. But let's be clear, that is all at risk today. Donald Trump was asked what he would do about Social Security and Medicare, and he said, and I quote, "There's a lot you can do in terms of cutting." Cutting? He's talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare while giving a huge new tax break to billionaires and corporations? Well, Kamala Harris is not going to let that happen. And Tim Walz is not going to let that happen. We are not going to let that happen. You know, they've got it backwards. We Democrats, we honor our elders and ask the wealthiest to pay their fair share. Wisconsin's state motto is forward. And my friends, that's where we're headed.
That was Tammy Baldwin, who's up for re-election, and I believe she's going to lead the ticket. She may even pull Kamala Harris across the finish line here.
Certainly, I think she might.
Certainly, if Joe Biden had any chance, it was going to be because of Tammy Baldwin. But now there's so much enthusiasm for Harris and Walz that I think they're going to help each other, which is great. And, you know, Jess, we haven't talked that much about Walz, but, you know, I just love that guy, and so does my wife, and so does my son. We were watching it together. My son Sam, who's 38, and we just, you know, every time I saw his smiling face there, and he gave a great talk the day before. Never underestimate a public school teacher. A lot of my public school teacher friends were using that as a meme on Facebook.
Oh yes, absolutely.
He also had this killer line: "Other states are banning books. We're banishing hunger."
Yes.
Yeah, that was just a great, great line. And he echoed Obama by saying, "I'm ready to turn the page." And I think that, you know, we're not going back. We're turning the page. We're going forward. You heard Tammy use the word forward there, too. That is the sentiment that I think was so exhilarating at the DNC. There's no reason to go backwards with these guys. Backward to Donald Trump and Donald Trump's politics of ugliness, politics of divisiveness, politics of authoritarianism, which is coming if he wins. And so just hearing this sense that, you know, we're going to get through this.
And he gave us a little pep talk. I've actually got a clip. Do you want to hear
that?
Sure,
I'd love it.
Let me finish with this, team. It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal, but we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's played any football or has had a kid who played any football or watches football on the weekends really understood that. And then he said, you know, we're going to do the blocking and tackling and everything else in the trenches and leave it all on the field. I mean, it was a classic speech by a coach, and that's why they call him Coach Walz. And that plays really well here in Wisconsin. Going to play well all across the Midwest and I think all across the country. That's one of the reasons why I think Kamala Harris is going to be the next president and Walz is going to be the next vice president. But we all do have to do a ton of work between now and then. That's why I'm encouraging you, the listener, to sign up as a volunteer, get the vote out, you know, write those postcards, make those phone calls, contribute if you have a capacity, contribute financially, or just get three friends to make sure that they're going to go to the polls, too. It's just vital for our democracy. I'm Matt Rothschild, sitting in here for Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be right back with Christian Phelps, candidate for the 93rd Assembly seat.